Grab your Bibles then tonight and turn, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 2. And we are looking and considering some very serious things. Now, how many of you were here last week? Raise your hand. You were here last week? That doesn't work. How many of you were not here last week? Raise your hand. Okay, well, listen, you were warned, those of you last week, you were warned here that we're going to be now treading into some waters that are pretty adult in content. And so if you brought a young one in here tonight, you might want to run out of the building while we get into the introduction, because we're going through now chapter 2 out to chapter 7, some very serious topics about sexuality, about Solomon teaching his son about the immoral woman and the perverse man. And so we're going to just take this opportunity tonight to break away from being church, so to speak, and be what we really are, and that is a family, a spiritual family that deals with practical things. And so tonight I hope to be very efficient as possible, not going to push anything. We're not under any push to get through so many verses. But again, my intent tonight is to hopefully get us to a place where God is answering and answering and ministering to us by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. And also that if it should lend itself that we would have a time for questions and answers. If not, then if a question does arise, write it down and either email it to the church or send it to us. But I tell you what, with what we're covering between now, chapter 2 to chapter 7, I'm going to tell you right now, the biblical guidance that we do in the church, 90% of what we're talking about will be covered in the weeks ahead. So much so that we're probably not going to be making so many appointments, but rather just have the person come on in and get the tape or the CD to listen to. Because quite frankly, we need to apply ourselves to the Word of God. Amen, church? We're Christians. It's the Word of God. It's the Bible. And people want to have the answers for their marriage, the answers for their life, the answers for their kids, but very few people are willing to open up the Bible and read what God's instruction manual is about all those things. And so rather than for us as a church to chase our tails around, we want to encourage you and in the body here at Calvary to get into the Word of God. So, Proverbs chapter 2, and rather than go through all this portion, we're going to just kind of glean a little bit where we were from last time. Chapter 2, we covered last time chapter 2, verse 1, out to verse 12. And so what we want to mark down right now is verse 12 down to verse 22. That's going to be our text for tonight. So here Solomon is speaking to his son, and he's saying that this is what God is intending and desiring to do by giving you wisdom, understanding, and prudence, and discernment. That is to deliver you from, look at verse 12, from the man who speaks perverse things, to deliver you from those who leave the paths of righteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. Or leave the path of uprightness, I should say, and to walk in the ways of darkness. Verse 14, to deliver you from those who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity of the wicked. He would say to deliver you from those whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths lead to death. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, but the wicked, verse 22, will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. We've been looking at what we're entitling God's Design for Life, Love, and Living, and the subtitle was in our introduction a couple weeks ago, What the World Thinks About Sex. And what the world thinks about sex, you can turn on any sitcom and find out in about 5 minutes. What the world thinks about sex is whatever you want to do, if it feels good, what? Do it. It doesn't matter. We live in an age that is exploratory. We live in an age that is whatever you want to do. There are no rules. and we are on the brink of anarchy as a culture. I wish you would write that down, because you know what? I'm not a prophet, nor am I a son of a prophet. But it doesn't take much to conclude that when you begin to look around at what's being pushed in schools and pushed on the tube, we are on the brink of anarchy. And we had a foretaste of it a couple months ago here in California, and it spread to other states. And I brought this word out to you. I haven't heard it across America. I've heard it nowhere else. And so it's brought to you here first. But what's tragic is what happened in San Francisco with these gay marriages and the push to go away from Constitution law, to go away from the voters' will in Prop 22 some time ago. People with an agenda brought it upon the scene and just basically held firm and held strong until it was no longer really a real media thing. It didn't sell much anymore, and it quietly faded away in the news. You say, well, you know, what's the big deal? I'm going to give you one thing that's a very big deal, and it has nothing to do necessarily with homosexuality. The agenda has nothing to do with Christianity or not. It has nothing to do with anything other than this: anarchy, lawlessness. If we as Christians would go up against the law that has been in the books and would violate the law, then we would be implementing anarchy. So I'm not picking on a certain group of people or a certain sexual preference. What I am saying is what happened recently several months ago was the breaking of the law. And it made all kinds of news, and then it quietly went away. And what happened was the homosexual agenda got its way. I don't know if you know that or not, but it got its way. And that's going to happen in other things. It's going to happen in other venues. Somebody who tags your fence with a paint can. They're not destroying public property. You know, that used to be a law, that it was a destruction of public property. Now they're expressing themselves. It's their First Amendment rights, the ACLU says. It's amazing to me. Lawlessness. Why do we bring this up? Because we're living in an age that on TV, on radio, in the media, on the internet, they are redefining what sex and what love is to be about. And they have made God, who created it all, to be a mockery and his design to be a joke. You understand what I'm saying? Even in Christian circles. And by the way, I'm glad I'm here in this church right now. Most of the churches across America, I would not be welcome to even come to Proverbs chapter 2 out to chapter 7 because of what it might lead in the way of teaching. This is a tremendous age in which we live in. The last time we looked at our scripture together, we considered a few things, and that was all of Solomon's push and Solomon's desire to get his son to understand that there are things to do that are right, and there's a price to be paid for those things that are wrong. Now, we're going to be looking at some of those things tonight, and I hope that they really minister to us, and that we as parents, or we as adults, would have something to really put into our pocket, so to speak, by the way of substance. So, put your boots on and your helmet too, and button it up because of where we're going. Beginning now at verse 12 down to verse 15, we're looking at God's design for life, love, and living, and that our God loves life and freedom. Can you jot that down in your note-taking? God loves life and freedom. That is, God is against those things that cause death, and God is against those things that cause bondage. The whole Bible is about you living life. Didn't Jesus say, I have come to give you, what? Life, not death. I've come to give you life, and that you might live it more abundantly. Abundantly is freedom. Freedom from God given to us that we might live a life that is no longer in bondage to the powers of sin and death. And so look what he says here in verse 12. He says that he's talking to his son now. Very personal discussion he's having. He says, listen, these things have been given, verses 1 to 12, to deliver you from the man who speaks perverse things. Some of your new translations might say fraudulent things, things that lead people astray. Well, the context is going to go in the sensual vein here in a moment. He's talking about a man who would come and speak things that would lead you down the path via either a lie or fraudulent or an exaggeration to gain advantage of you. This man comes and he begins to speak to you, and his whole intent is to gain advantage of you, to get control over you. Now listen, all of us who've lived a little bit know that there are people like this around. What's shocking is that the Bible teaches that there are people like this who traverse through churches looking for naive people, looking for the innocent, looking for the young, looking for the gullible, to take advantage of them. And by the way, that's why God gave pastors to shepherd the flock of God. Listen, boy, this is not popular what I'm about to say. You know what my job is to do? My job is to pray for you. My job is to study. My job is to preach to the lost and to teach the saved. Now, on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night, there is preaching and teaching that takes place. Now, how do we know that? Because some people come to faith in the messages. That's preaching. That's evangelistic preaching. You never preach to the church. The church is already saved. You teach the church and you preach to the lost. You understand? Very important. If I'm being under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit, there's going to be teaching and preaching going on. And the body of Christ will be exhorted. Listen, exhorted means kind of like this, a little spank, to be exhorted or admonished, taught, encouraged. When the Spirit of God is working in the Bible, these things will happen. Why? Because that's how a family is. One of the things also as a pastor is I'm supposed to watch out for wolves. Now, some of you will try to talk to me, and it happens every service because that's just the way it is, and I want to be with you. But there are times when I'm back there. I always sit in the back during worship. I'll be worshiping or whatever, and sometimes I just get a funny little buzz, you know, from the Lord. And I just begin praying. I don't know why. Lord, okay, Lord. And there's almost like a warning that goes off, and I'm praying for the body. I'm praying for you. I just sense this. And there's times, by the way, when the Lord puts somebody, I see someone, and this person's new, and I'm, not that that's wrong, but I'm watching. I know they don't have a Bible. They're looking all around. They're not paying any attention to any worship or nothing like that. And they begin to, you see them start gravitating toward the young girls. The only problem is this guy's about 35 and really can't get his eyes off of her or any other girl. So we watch. Then I grab an usher. Keep your eye on that guy. I don't know. He may be fine. He might be blind. I don't know. But he seems to be looking at that girl, and I've never seen him before. Just keep your eye on him. And listen, we've had people walk into this church, walk up to a young girl and say, I'm a prophet of God, and the Lord told me to tell you that you are going to be my wife. And you say, how come you guys threw that nice man out in the street? Well, you didn't hear what he said to that girl. You know this. There was a woman on a Sunday morning who came, not here, in the old building, came up, and we just got ready to end the service, and I said, let's all stand. We stood up, and she comes forward, and she goes, I have a message. I have a message. And God just blessed me to think this thought. I said, what? What? I can't, what? What? I can't hear you. What'd you say? And we just walked right out the door. We just kept going. And we got outside. And she goes, I have a message. I have to get back in there. Well, the worship group was playing. We went right out the door into the parking lot. And I said, now, what'd you say? She goes, I've got a message. I said, for who? She goes, for someone in the church. I said, you know what? They just had a message. She goes, well, I work for God. I said, so do I. This is not your church. Give them the message, and I'll tell you if it should be given to the body. Oh, I can't do that. It's for a young man in this church. And I said, lady, you're not going back in there. She goes, I'm going back in there. And I said, ma'am, you're not going back in there. And the truth is, you cannot disrupt a religious service. That's the law. And the second truth is, I'm not going to let you in. You're just not going back in there. And she goes, I'm going in there. I said, lady, you are not going in there. And she goes, well, you beep and beep, 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 beep. And she just cussed me out. Well, Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And her fruits were pretty rotten, I'll tell you. Well, and part of this thing as being a church and a family and all is teaching the truth and giving it out. Solomon is talking to his son. We are allowed by the Holy Spirit to get into a letter that God saw fit to publish to the world for the last several millennia, you know? It's pretty amazing. So let's look at what he's saying about God-loving freedom and God-loving life. First of all, life and freedom from God is this, freedom from others. Jot that down. Christian, you are free from the jurisdiction of others. He is saying that God is wanting you, Christian, to be delivered from the man who speaks perverse things. You are a child of God. You march to a different drum, Christian, and that drum is the part and parcel of your Bible, the book from cover to cover, the Spirit of God. He's the one you answer to. And I want to encourage you about that. Don't be swayed by the perverse man. Well, what does the perverse man look like? Does he have like flies flying around his mouth and like is it Pigpen on Peanuts? He's got these fumes rising up with his little... No, he doesn't look like that. They're usually very savvy, smooth people. Watch out. Very careful. You are free. Follow God. Follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Word of God. So when God speaks to us about us having life, it's us having freedom, and it's having us, the Christian, his life, her life, founded upon the Bible. This is why, and I don't need to go off on this trail whatsoever, but this is why communist countries are petrified of the Bible. Because those who read the Bible learn to stand on their own feet and find their meaning in Christ. Are you with me? Do you understand that? And this is petrifying to communist nations. That's why the Bible is illegal in communist countries. Because people wind up becoming the people God intended them to be. So be free. Be free from others. Follow God. He says, you don't have to worry about the man who is perverse because he's talking to his son. You have wisdom. You have prudence. You have understanding. Another thing, verse 13, life and freedom from the way of others. He says that he's wanting to deliver you, deliver us tonight from those who leave the path of uprightness. Look, they were once on the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness. There are people on the path. Listen, church, Jesus made mention of this in Matthew chapter 13. There are those who receive the Bible and they walk in the path, but in time, when the cares of this world arise, when difficulty comes, the cares of the world take the Word of God out of their hearts, or they look back at the world and they go off the path back into the way of darkness. Now, your question would be, do they lose their salvation? No, they never had their salvation. In fact, Jesus said, these are they who believed for a while. He gives you the answer. But those who are his, he says in Matthew 13, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So you want to be a fruitful Christian. And by the way, it's up to me that I'm a fruitful Christian. It's up to you that you're a fruitful Christian. Your neighbor can't do that for you, you know? You've got to follow him and stay on the path. And we'll talk more about that as we go through this. Verses 14 to 15, we learn this about how our God loves life and loves freedom. And that is, he wants to have us free from the deeds of others. Free from the deeds of others. To deliver you from those who rejoice in doing evil. Doesn't that sound like a gang? To deliver you from those who would rejoice in doing evil, and delight in the perversity of the wicked. You know, the Bible warned us, the prophet Isaiah warned us that in the last days, people, the populace, would call good evil and evil good. And I think we're living in a time like that. A very dangerous time. By the way, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Man, do we not know that? Does anybody know that? Don't we? You know, we'll counsel people. And this is what the Bible says. Do not be unequally yoked when it comes to this relationship. Oh, I'm not serious about him. I'm just dating him. Yeah, you know what? Watch. You know what? It happens too often. He's right on for the Lord. He's walking with God and she comes walking along, she bats her little eyelashes, you know, and he's like, whoa! Well, maybe I'll bring her to church. So, he brings her to church. And what do? After church? Well, you go and get something to eat or you whatever, and you know, and then they spend time, they're talking, and then, well, you want to go to church? You know, and yeah, sure. And good intentions he's got. But after a while, listen, even King David couldn't handle it. Where you begin to not walk in the right way, you begin to compromise ever so little, ever so slightly, and eventually, if you are not so plugged in, her ways will corrupt you. It's the way, it's a spiritual law. Listen, if you follow the Lord and stay on the path, God will bring to you those blessed things. It's very important. Well, I call it missionary dating. Well, you're going to be in big trouble and you're going to have a lot of hurts. Just remember that. God says, do not be unequally yoked. Date or court believers. Because somebody you do date someday, you're going to marry that person. You're going to marry someone you date. That always shocks a young person. What? It's true. It's going to happen. Look at point number two this evening, and that is verses 16 to 17. God's design for life, love, and living is this, to make sure it's love and not lust. God's design for us as Christians is to make sure that we fall in love and not lust. There's a big, big difference. See, the world and what the world thinks about sex, they won't use the word lust. They'll use the word love. And really, when someone says, oh, I love you, go to bed with me. Well, you know what they're saying? I lust you. I lust you so much. Oh, I've been lusting you from the moment I saw you. I fell in lust at the first sight. How do we know? Because the goal of the world is to close the deal. It's horrific. How so? Look at verse 16. Solomon is pleading with his son to understand wisdom and to know knowledge. Why? To deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. This is powerful. Make sure in your life, Christian, and this goes for married and unmarried. Think about it. Make sure. For the married, when Satan comes tempting to tear up your marriage, to destroy your home, he will often come in this vein of lust. Satan hates love. It's lust. It's his imitation. It's so powerful, it's overwhelming, and it knocks most people right off their feet. Lust. Because it is so geared to our emotions. Mark this verse down for safety's sake. Jude 1:17. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last days who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Holy Spirit. In other words, they're lost. So he's warning us, watch out for the immoral woman. So this thing about lust is a very dangerous thing. Why? Because this woman or this man, it doesn't matter, this woman or man will bring upon you and tempt you in this area of lust. And this is what it looks like. Lust is self-seeking. Girls, you need to write that down. Because guys are suckers for stepping into lust. Guys are wired to lust. Why? Because men are visually stimulated. You may be wearing something and you think it's really cute. I got news for you. There is not a guy on the planet that's going to walk by and say, that is so cute. Wow. That's cute. Cute doesn't enter his head. Men are wired different. That's why the scripture, Solomon is talking to his son, not just because it's his son, but there's wisdom of God given here to all of us throughout the ages. That when a woman, and we're going to see how she dresses, by the way, when a woman is dressed a certain way, a man, it's like it's neon. Things just light up. It's the way that we're wired. Oh, well, that's his problem. Yeah, it's his problem, but we live in a very fallen and wicked world, and his problem could become your problem. It's a very dangerous time we live in. But men are wired that way visually. So look at what he's saying. Lust is self-seeking. It's emotionally based. To deliver you from the immoral woman who does what? Who is a seductress, and she flatters with her words. So lust is self-seeking. In other words, love is like this. Watch me. I need your attention. Unless you're writing it down, look up here. You got to get this. Love is like this. Love is, I'll open the door for you. Love is, you go through first. Love is, you have the bigger slice of the pie. I want you to have the, and love is not just offering the slice of the pie. It's the person who's offering the bigger slice of the pie to the one that they love. That's a big deal to the one who is doing the loving. The one who's doing the loving wants you, the loved, to have the bigger pie. Why? It means everything to us. That's what love is like. Love is the other is blessed the most. Did you get that? Girl, do you... I think he loves me. You think he loves you. Find out if he does. How does he treat you? Look and see how he treats his mom. How does he treat his sisters? How does he treat women in general? You guys are going, what's that to do with it? And women are going, that's right, that's right. I can feel a great rift. It's true. Lust says things like this. We've got to have sex. I love you so much. I can't live without you. I can't live without you. I have to have you. I'll just die without you. Well, then die, you dirty dog. Die. Think about it. Excuse me, but you should say, girl, that statement just sounded a little self-centered. I can't live without you. I need you. I can't make it without you. The whole world's about me. It all revolves around me, and you're one of my servants among many others. You hear that? Love says, hey, you know what? I want to give, I want to bless, I want to honor you. I do not want to defraud you. Look, you read the Song of Solomon, and she's the one. Oh, have times changed, or is this how a godly man and a relationship ought to be? She gets all excited, and she's, you know, making overtures toward him. He picks up on it, and Solomon turns to her and says, whoa, whoa, do not awaken love until the time is right. Girl, calm down. We're not married yet. We're not going to do a thing until we're married, Solomon says in the Song of Solomon. Is that not awesome? A woman ought to be able to have that protection from the man that she's knowing, that she's getting to know, that she's growing in the grace and knowledge with Christ with. If she gets weak, he ought to be able to say, now, sweetie, you know what? You're getting a little too, you know, okay, here's, listen, do not awaken love, like Solomon said, until the time is right. You know, it's time for me to go home. And I'll see you tomorrow night. That's a Christian man. That's a man who's in love with that girl, with that woman. He protects her. Listen, he protects her even from herself. That is a godly man. Are you with me? Boy, it's quiet in here. What happened? This is serious stuff.
Well, he told me he loved me.
Well, we shall see. The words don't matter. It's the actions. And does he honor you? This is the most important thing. See, lust is self-seeking because it's emotionally based. Mark in your Bible, or turn there if you would, just ahead, Proverbs 5, beginning at verse 3. Proverbs 5, verse 3. For the lips of the immoral woman drip honey. Wow. And her mouth is smoother than oil. This is really sensual talk, isn't it? Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Hey, that sounds like chapter 2. For at the window of my house, I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youth, a young man devoid of understanding. Uh-oh. Passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black, dark night, and there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Look, read your Bible carefully. Is she a harlot? Nope, she's not a harlot. She's wearing the clothing of a harlot. Okay, is there adults in here? Okay, I gave you enough warning. You had 25 minutes to get out of here, right? If you're a little one, this is important. She wore the clothing of a harlot. Why? Okay, she's not a harlot. We know that from Scripture. She's not working the streets. She doesn't charge. No, this woman gives it away. She puts on the attire of a harlot. Why? To send the message. This is very, very fragile ground here, but it's important. The world caters to the flesh and gets everybody behind it, so to speak. And then people view Christianity and Christians as some sort of prudes, dodos. You know, we have physical relations just to have a child, and then now we're done. Our God is the God who invented sex. Our God is the God who invented male and female. Our God is the God who caused this to be under His watchful eye. What has the world done? What the world always does. It pirates and commandeers what God takes as good, and it makes it wrong. The world does it with music. The world does it with God. The world does it with everything. It takes what's good and it perverts it, makes it wrong, right? It's the way that it is. When she does this, this woman is dressing up like a harlot to attract the guy, to bring his thoughts to the physical realm. This kind of setting is dangerous and leads to death. But for the husband and wife, as we shall see in our study, the Bible says that God calls that Christian bed undefiled. It is righteous and holy before God. A Christian husband and a Christian wife should have a dynamic, healthy, wonderful relationship together. If you don't, and those of you who don't, Satan is nipping at your heels of your home. Among many other avenues, that's one of them. And for some of you, that is the big thing that Satan is destroying your home on. And many women will use sex as a tool or as a weapon in a home that is deviating from God's will. And a man will harden and resist and turn callous like stone, and both of them polarize themselves just on that issue alone. Forget communication. Forget finance. Forget children. Those are other things too, yes. But on this issue that we're seeing here this evening before us, be careful. Verse 17 teaches us, we want to make sure that it's love and not lust. Why? Because lust is self-gratifying and it's physically driven. Lust is self-gratifying and physically driven. Meaning this, when a person has lusted after another and they have gratified themselves, then that person that they cling to love, they begin to despise. Ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what I said? This is epidemic in the world, and it has been since the creation of time. When lust is driving a man, that man will conquer, like Amnon did to Tamar, conquered and then despised her. The world is like that. There's so many broken people who some man or some woman came up to them and said, I love you, and I just love you so much, and you're so strong, and you're so wonderful. All these flattering words. They let their heart down. They let their life down, and they were crushed. And now they think not only is there nobody out there in the world for them, but they think even God is against them. It's terrible. Brokenhearted. Now, lust is self-gratifying, physically driven. How do we know that? Verse 17 says that she forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. The word is here that she's willfully forsaking her companion. She has a companion. She has a husband, but for whatever reason, she's away from him. And she is willfully forgetting. Proverbs 7, verse 11. Speaks more about this woman. Proverbs 7:11 says, she was loud and rebellious. The word is also, some of your translations, she was bold and we would use the word maybe outgoing, but in a negative way. This woman is, you could say that she was loud and rebellious. This is a setting that is very, very indicative of those scenes, and from what we hear about regarding pornography, it is bold. It's overwhelming. It's not normal. You say, well, that's crazy. This is what the world is going after. Do you remember, how many remember Ted Bundy? Remember that pathetic poor man? Ted Bundy started out looking at magazine ads for women's underwear and bras and stuff as a kid. And he escalated to pornography, and then he escalated to other things until the point was Ted Bundy escalated to the point of taking women's lives. And just before he was executed to death, he wound up, James Dobson, you know the story, you can get it on tape, witnessed to, accepted Christ, began to speak to people about how horrible pornography is because it destroys you. And then they threw the switch and killed him dead. This is terrible because, listen, she was loud and rebellious. People, listen, respond to me. When someone's really loud and rebellious and they just go on and on, you're saying, yeah, like this message on and on. Listen, what happens when someone's just going all the time? Does anybody know what happens to the people who hear them? I heard good words. Desensitized, turned off, tune out, don't listen. Exactly right on. She was loud and rebellious. How'd she get that way? Who pays any attention to her? No one's paying any attention to her based upon what she says. But watch what she is saying in line with what this man's looking for and what the flesh craves. Her feet would not stay at home. She had no regard for her home. At times she was outside, and at times she was in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. This word is tremendous. She went up like a modern-day sitcom, bold. She went up, grabbed him, and smooched him, and just laid one. That was, smooch would be not the word. I guess you smooch your dog, you know. Come here, puppy. She didn't kiss him like a puppy. She attacked him. And you know what? A man void of understanding loves it. He's so stupid. And you're going to see how stupid this guy is. Oh, wow. Again, this is what pornography does to people. By the way, 25% of those who view pornography now are said to be women now, and that number is increasing. That is, well, all of it is from hell. Lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face, bold, uncaring, strong, like granite face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I've paid my vows. I can't tell you exactly. I mean, I could tell you, but I don't know if I can tell you what this means. I've just come from the temple. I have done the things that Moses called to do after my monthly time, she tells him, I'm safe to be with. I paid my vows. Verse 15. So I came to meet you.
Oh, me? What a dope.
Remember, she's speaking flattering words.
It's you I want.
You do?
Yes. Ever since I paid my vows, I was looking for you.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry, circle it, and colored coverings of Egyptian linen. What you don't understand in our English here, I have covered my bed with sensual feelings, fabrics of great feeling. We would say today, silk. I got my bed all decked with silk. And not only that, I've got Egyptian coverings. They're totally pornographic. That's what it means. I've got my pornography. It's all over the walls. Come on, let's go. Can you believe it? You say, oh, I thought pornography was new. It's not new. It's ancient, and this woman knew it. So she's setting this guy up. But you know what? He's running right along with it because he's void of understanding. His parents never sat him down and told him, hey, watch out for this kind of girl, you know? Scary. Verse 17. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, alloys, and cinnamon. Wow. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with, what's it say? Yeah, but what is it? Lust. Let us delight ourselves with lust. I mean love. It's all lust. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on an appointed day. See how slick she is? Look at Proverbs 5, verse 7. Proverbs 5, 7 says, therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her. And do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. Wow. You say, I don't see how this applies. Don't go near her door. You can go that way on the 60 and the 10 freeway, or that way on the 60 and the 10 freeway. To the gentleman's club. You ever thought about that? The gentleman's club? If they were gentlemen, they wouldn't be in that club. And they've got these posters that you got to, as a guy, gouge your eye out on the freeway, blind yourself just to get to the LAX or something, you know? Billboard after billboard. What is that all about? She's saying, come near my way. Come over here. Come by my door. Just drive by. And, you know, Satan will say, hey, you know, you got to pull over and get gas anyway. Well, yeah, I got to get gas. Now, where is that gas station anyway? Dope. Crazy. Watch out. Well, we're going to go there to minister. Don't go near her door. Oh, it's terrible. Verses 18 to 19, God's design for a life, for love, and for living. Sexual sin is unlike any other sin recorded in the Bible. It says, for her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Sexual sin is unlike any other sin. In this 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man sins, he does outside of his body, but he who commits sexual immorality against his commits a sin against his own body? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what we see here in verse 18 is that there's an abundance of warning given to us by Scripture. Do not go near her house. She leads you down to death and to the path of the dead. And if you look at this, the progression downward, for her house leads down to death, that's 95% of the destruction. Her path to the dead, once you've gone into the door of her house, so to speak, you're on the path to meet the dead. It's amazing that we live in an age where sexual immorality can kill you. It's always been a danger, but now it can kill you. Proverbs 5, back to Proverbs 5, verse 4, it says, but in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, poison, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell, lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Proverbs 5, verse 20. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? Proverbs 7, verse 27. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. How can the Bible say that? Because sexual union with someone like this will destroy your life. You've heard the statistics before. I'm going to bore you and give them again. In that C. Everett Koop, in one of his books, former Surgeon General of the United States, C. Everett Koop wrote that if you exchange bodily fluids with another sexual partner, if you have bodily fluids exchanged with another sex partner, their chemistry, their biological footprint or fingerprint stays inside your system, inside your metabolism. Your body does not expel that person completely out of your system for 7 years. 7 years. If you've had two sexual encounters in the last year, you've got 14 years of someone else's chemistry floating in your body. And if that is continued on, people die. People get diseases that you can't get rid of. And for some, AIDS. And that's ever growing. Sexual sin is unlike any other sin, and in that it can take away your life. None who go down to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. Okay, back to Proverbs 7. We're almost done. You're doing great. Proverbs 7, verse 21, with her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. She stayed at it until he gave in. Do you remember a woman who stayed at it, but she was left holding the guy's clothes? He took off running. Joseph. He yielded. Proverbs 7:21, he yielded, and with her flattering lips, she seduced him. Notice, it was in her mouth first. You're so wonderful. You're so big and strong. Look at you. Immediately, verse 22 says, he went after her. As an ox goes to the slaughter. You ever seen an ox? You ever seen over here on... Ever go by that place? I don't want to scare you. Anyway, there's a place over here where hamburgers are made. They walk in and they're wrapped out. You ever see him walking in? Okay. So sad. I don't want to go there. Those poor things are, you know, okay. I can get all the ranchers are like, don't say it. They have no feelings. It's okay. But anyway, ox goes to the slaughter. or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. He's going to be corrected because he did something wrong. He's so out of touch, he doesn't know what he did, and where are you taking me? He doesn't even know what's coming. Till an arrow struck his liver. Oh, is that not graphic? Go look and see how many things affect your liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know that it would cost him his life. Proverbs 7:25. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Finally, verses 20 to 22. God's grace is greater than our sin. So you may walk in the way of goodness, he speaks to his son, and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. I'm going to rattle off some verses, and then we're going to be done. But listen carefully, please. Romans 6:14, jot it down. The Bible says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are no longer under the law, but under the grace of God. Matthew 12:31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that it's Jesus, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him in this life, nor in the life to come. Why did I bring that verse up? Because every type of sin God will forgive, except blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That means if you have been sexually promiscuous, if these things convict you, if God is speaking to you and you're saying, oh my goodness, my life is going to come to an end, I'm going to die. Wait a minute. God will forgive every sin except one, and that is rejecting God's gift of forgiveness. That's good news. Man, I think I'm guilty. I think I'm guilty. If you think you're guilty, rejoice. Because God forgives our sins. That's a good, good thing. So you might be in here tonight, and you might be a male or female prostitute or loose person, whatever your lifestyle's been, and you're thinking, man, my life's ruined. In fact, I have those diseases you're talking about. Wait a minute. Listen, not only is God waiting and willing and able to forgive you right now, but you know what? He just might heal you too. Regardless if he heals you or not, why would you sacrifice your eternal life because you've made horrible mistakes in this life? God issues you forgiveness tonight and another chance. Repentance, God delights in it. Exodus 34, verse 6. Exodus 34, 6. And the Lord passed before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sins. That's God. Make a straight line straight to Him. 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He Himself is the propitiation, or He died in our place for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That's good news. Verse 22 tells us that if a man continues in that way, he'll be cut off. So tonight, let's pray. Let's have the worship team come up. And I'm just going to ask you to just bow your head.